This is Pod Forsaken.
Yeah, we got juicy vibes coming in.
Juice all over the podcast.
Gonna fill up this pod with all my mouth juices and my brain's thoughts. And now here we go. You're gonna drink it up.
Too.
You're gonna swirl it around. You're gonna shake it, not stir it. And here we go. Ready for some horror review? 3, 2, 1.
Boom! Hey everybody, Missy, I'm so used to you not doing it.
Do you know how a countdown works? 3, 2, 1.
You got her so excited and worked up that she just wanted to lunge into it. Go ahead, Missy. You want to do the intro? Do the intro. Counter down again, Chris.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome Missy. To Pod Forsaken.
No. Why is there that pause?
Is that not what you do?
No.
It's a count. 3, 2, 1, 0. Welcome to Pod Forsaken.
All right,
we're gonna do it again. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. We're still vibing. We're still in it.
We're going.
Taking that wallpaper down. We're peeling it. We're seeing what's under the hood. Here we go. Mixed metaphors. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Pod Forsaken, everyone. I'm Missy Levin.
I'm Rodney Altman.
And I'm Chris Sachs. And we just figured out how to record an intro.
Kind of.
That was good.
Yeah. So we are a horror review podcast, tending to do lesser known horror movies, and some good, some not good, but hopefully we'll bring you a good one today. We're going to be reviewing the feature length Solstice Station. The prequel to Train to Busan, animated prequel, reviewing the trailer for Wretched, which will be our movie for next week.
Yeah, that was very well done, Missy. Congratulations. You should be on a podcast.
Thanks.
So
The Wretched.
Yeah, so we always start with trailer of the week. We're going to talk about the trailer for The Wretched, and then that will be what we do next week.
Where did you hear about this? I've never heard of these directors.
So when quarantine started back, like, what, March? Yeah. Shortly after it had started, somewhere in April, I started seeing just these articles online about how this, like, very unknown horror film had made, like, $1 million off of, like, a really low budget, right? Because it was playing at drive-ins, right? And so this movie, which normally would probably have gone, like, straight to video, somehow got a very, like, I don't know, somewhere between a mid to very wide, like, drive-in theatrical release. And it racked up, like, just, I think, because people were just so desperate to go see anything, right, and get out of their house, that it made, I think they spent, like, $60,000+ on this, and it made $1 million.
Dang.
I don't know
that's impressive. So it really benefited from COVID, this movie?
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, the makers of The Wretched are some of the only people who have benefited because of COVID.
Yeah, and all drive-in movie theater owners in general, I think.
Yeah, it says here, the budget for this movie is $66,000. And I was way off. Box office, ready for this? $3.1 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's... It's like 50 times what they spent on it.
So people from all over the country have been watching this movie the last few months?
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of it. I'm so glad you brought it up.
I was wrong. It was actually released in May 1st. So it would have been in May that I read those articles.
Okay.
So I got to tell you, when I had heard about The Wretched and when I looked at the cover for The Wretched, I thought, I have no interest in seeing this movie, right? Like when I hear the budget of $66,000 combined with the cover and the title, it just seemed like I already knew what this movie was going to be. But as it's racked up this big budget, I kind of became interested. And so I suggested we see what the big deal is. And after watching the trailer, I got to tell you, I'm pretty fucking excited.
Yeah.
Really? I have the opposite experience. I was more interested off of the poster and the title. And now after seeing the trailer, I'm like, I know exactly what this is.
Really? Okay. I mean, I was neutral after the trailer. I mean, after the cover and the title. And I'm more excited after seeing the trailer because it sounded just, I mean, it kind of looks like a random Shudder movie, but it looks like it has a plot to it, at least.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, this is distributed by IFC Midnight, which, as we talked about in a previous episode.
Oh, thank God. Midnight.
It's like hearing the word midnight in the title, plus after seeing the trailer, like, this is a horror movie. This is in no way a, like, German village, maybe she's a witch movie.
Is this who did Swallow, IFC?
Yeah, well, they distributed Swallow.
Swallow, but it wasn't Midnight. It was just regular. Is that the problem?
Right. And then it's like if it's distributed by IFC, that means it's probably a drama. if it's IFC Midnight, it's definitely a horror film.
Okay.
So Chris, you're not when you saw the trailer for this, you're just not excited to watch this movie?
I feel like all of the scare scenes in it, I liked the atmosphere and I liked the art department of it, like that symbol that they have and like the scratched out photo. I thought all of that was cool. I like the idea of like some neighbor boy who's trying to protect like a younger neighbor kid who's like, it seems like this witch has like taken over his mom or something.
Yeah.
I think there's some cool elements. It just felt like all of the like, oh my God, did you see this? Oh, there's hands coming out of a deer. Oh my God, there's a voice coming from this like this knot in a tree. It was just like, okay, I don't know. It felt a little like the horror paint by numbers. I didn't see anything that made me lean in and get excited.
I guess like, I don't know how to put, I mean, obviously maybe I will hate the movie after I watch it. But like one, it looks pretty professional and slick, right? Like, again, mm-hmm. I'm impressed that, I mean, it looks like a quote-unquote real movie.
It looks like a higher budget than $66,000.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how they did it for $66,000, right?
They just didn't pay anyone.
Ah, that explains it. Yeah. Yeah. No, we sent you the check. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Well, now they can pay them. So,
they better. They freaking better.
Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, because the distribution company.
It should all be deferred payment. So, yeah, they better get paid.
Right. So, it's directed by the Pierce brothers, written and directed by the Pierce brothers, who I don't know who they are.
They did Deadheads?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know who they are.
Hey, maybe if it's good, we'll check out Deadheads.
Yeah.
The Wretched looks like, it looks like it's about two neighbors, and the one guy is like in his 20s, and his neighbor's a little boy who's probably like around 12, or I don't know, 10. I can't tell young kids' ages. And
yeah, he's somewhere between 8 and 45.
Yeah, I know he's not old by looking at it.
Yeah, he doesn't collect Social Security, but...
But he's not so young that he can't talk yet. He's somewhere in there. And there's clearly like a witch. And the witch is like... There's like... It clearly is like both a witch movie, but there's also like monsters in it. Because you're right. There's like some kind of like gnarled hands crawling out of
I thought that was her. It does. Yeah, it does kind of have like a Skinwalker vibe.
Yeah, because like the poster is like this witch woman holding like a like an it kind of looks like antlers. This looks like it looks like someone, you know how we were talking about last episode,
yeah.
How two movies are the same movie always come out right around the same time.
Totally.
It really looks like Antlers was filming and someone was like, that's my movie called The Wretched, and now they raced for it. And The Wretched was like, beat you to it, bro, and they released their movie.
I hope we find out like what like a backstory of the mom, and it's not just like, oh, the mom is turning into a witch, but we have no idea why and like what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it's explained.
And I hope if that is the case, that she has a very borderline relationship with goats.
Yeah, I don't need that to be a plot point, to be a major. Yeah.
I don't know. This just looks like a Rodney movie. It just looks like it's got good atmosphere and monsters and bloody gore effects. And I don't know. I'm excited.
It looks like, I don't know like if this is the right word, but like a little like summer euphoria-ish too. Like just like fun kids hanging out in the summer and like things are good, but then something's wrong.
Yeah. I guess I'm conflicted on it because there are things about it. I am actually excited to watch this movie. I'm excited to, but I am realizing that I might be disappointed.
Fair enough. Well, we will talk about it next week.
Can't wait.
You know, in the standard tradition of our show, listeners, watch the trailer or watch the movie or watch both, whatever. But that's what we're doing next week. So
we're going to put up a personality test. Are you a Rodney, a Missy, or a Chris? And then just listen to which one of us you like.
I am curious because like,
I'm curious too. Can we actually do that? I would love to.
I'll contact BuzzFeed.
I think we could figure out a way to do it on Twitter or something, you know, or like people can just, it makes a good segue because this is the part where I tell everyone how to get in touch with us. So,
Oh, Rodney's gonna go iTunes.
Wait, no.
Review us.
I'll be back.
Podforsaken podcast at podcast.com or something.
Yeah.
Podcast at podcast.com. Well, Missy, you did the intro. Why don't you do this part?
It really, really would help us if you guys could give us 5 stars on anywhere you find us. If you type in the name, just give it 5 stars.
Go on Amazon. Start an Amazon shop. Say that you're selling Podforsaken.
We'd like to start a Yelp page. That would be good, too.
I like how painful it is for Missy. It gives her so much trauma to ask people. Like, you're here. You're already listening, right? You clearly like the show because you're listening to us talk about shit.
Yeah.
So interact with us, man. Like, or woman, send us an email. What was it, Chris?
I'm going to go on Chewy.com, which is where you can buy pet food. I'm going to sell a fake product called Podforsaken. If you could go on and review us as very good dog urinary health food, that would help. Just give us 5 stars. We want to help your dog.
We'll see it. We got alerts right. set up.
Yeah, we're at podcast@forsaken.com.
You know how to reach out to us. Just find us on Twitter @PodForsaken. We'll just leave it at that. Okay, everyone. Let's just move past this. This week we're talking about 2016's Seoul Station. Seoul is in the city in Korea.
Seoul Station is in a 70s movie about a very soulful guy who has to ride the train. So this is an animated prequel to Train to Busan. From the same year, directed by Yeon Sang-ho, so the same director as Train to Busan.
Do you know if this had like a theatrical release and
I don't
stuff?
Know.
It did.
It did, okay.
I read
in America
somewhere.
Or just Korea?
I think just Korea. This did not come out here theatrically. I mean, like Train to Busan didn't play theatrically here, did it?
I think it did.
I mean, if it did, it would have played at like one of those pretentious theaters that only we have in LA or
exactly.
New York, you know, like one theater in Chicago.
Yeah, it played between two movies called like My Dead Mother's Coffee Cup and like just a movie called Flower.
I picture a movie called Yesterday Tomorrow.
Like, yes.
From Poland.
I'll never forget you. Grandma's Big Adventure. I would actually watch Grandma's Big Adventure.
Those all sound good.
I would watch Grandma's Big Adventure. That does sound like a good one.
So Seoul Station. What did we think?
I fucking loved this movie.
Really?
I loved this movie. Yeah.
I loved this movie until Act 3.
No, I loved this whole fucking movie. I literally think this is one of the best movies we've done on the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, okay. I am. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not here to rank them right now. But like, I do think this is one of the most enjoyable movies I've watched in the 67 episodes we've done.
This is lower down for me. I think actually the third act was my favorite part.
Huh. Wow, this is going to be a heated episode. I'm excited.
I told you there'd be a lot to talk about.
So first of all, this is on Shudder. This is it's not a Shudder exclusive, but it is on Shudder. And I guess when I had heard there was an animated prequel, I just kind of thought it was like a shameless ripoff, right? You know, like the distribution company.
Yeah, they saw that they had a big hit and they were like, oh, let's pump something out.
Here's what's interesting. One, this came out right around when Train to Busan came out, I think like a month later. So they clearly had to start making them around the same time, maybe even earlier because animated film.
Quite possibly, yeah.
And the fact that it's written and directed by the same guy who wrote and directed Train to Busan, it feels very cohesive, right? Like if you like Train to Busan, you're probably going to like this movie because it's just, well, clearly Missy disagrees. Obviously, this is animated. And I want to be very clear, it's not as good as Train to Busan.
Well, let me ask you this. Rodney, what do you like about Train to Busan? What about, you think you like Train to Busan, yes?
You think you like
it. You think you like it.
I think you like it. Is that correct?
Yes. that's correct.
Do you think it's great?
Yeah, I think Train to Busan is a great movie. Yeah.
Why do you think it's great?
It's got trains in it.
I'm a sucker for train movies.
Dude, Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Polar Express.
Polar Express. What's the other Korean one?
Well, there's Runaway Train. That's American.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're naming my top 10 favorite movies.
Okay. Well, we're getting somewhere now.
What's the dystopian train movie?
Snowpiercer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah.
What is your question? Why do I like Train to Busan? Why does everyone?
Why
like
do
Train
you
to
think?
No, what
do
you
like?
Is it like the zombies? Is it the father daughter relationship? Like what about it?
That's fair. One, it is the ferocity of the zombies, right? Like look, I like zombies. I am not one of those people who's like, oh, zombies are overplayed and fuck zombies. Like when zombies are done well, I'm in every time. It seemed like if there's like a crazy mutant man with a mask and an axe and he's chopping up people, I never get tired of that movie, right? Like,
yeah, I agree. I'm way more pretentious than you are, and I am a sucker for zombies.
All right.
But
yeah.
I think there is a question of like, it is 2020. This is obviously from 2016, but if it's 2020 and you're making a zombie movie, you can't make Night of the Living Dead again. You can't. That's been done 4,000 times.
I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. I think
really?
If you, yeah, I mean, you all right, we're talking about two different things, but I think you, I don't think you can remake Night of the Living Dead because
no Tom, I just mean like that structure of like
you need a new take on it. That's
yes. I gotta tell you, I kind of wish they would. I'm kind of tired of everyone trying to make zombie movies bigger and more. Like, I kind of just want to watch four people defend a house from waves of zombies. I like that idea.
But then there's no characters.
What do you mean there's no characters? Like, of course, you're just imagining a movie with no characters.
No, you reveal character from how they solve the puzzles to get underneath the house.
The problem for me is most zombie movies fall into a couple areas that I don't care for. And one of them is the category, we'll call it, the zombies aren't the real enemy, right? And this is like what The Walking Dead does that I hate. Like, I'm not here to watch a show about feuding human factions fighting over cans of beans. I really am here for the zombies, right? And The Walking Dead has continually tried to insist that, like, that's not the main point of the show. And that's why everyone stopped watching, because I don't want to watch people argue about which way to this town and who's going to do the dishes, right? I just want to watch people get eaten by zombies. The other thing is people being really dumb in zombie movies, like really dumb, yeah. Right? And that takes me out of it because I'm like, I don't believe you're acting like real people, right?
I don't know. The way people act in COVID, I'm starting to like believe when people are yep. like, that's how they would act. People are dumb. They would act dumb. People are going to the movies. People.
Yeah, I'm going to make a movie about a bunch of people who are going to the movies during a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
The more I watch,
please stop standing up and moaning. I can't hear the actors.
When I was watching Soul Station, I kept thinking like, yeah, I see how the world easily falls apart because people are selfish and stupid. And it's that combination of selfishness and stupidness that makes everything go to shit. And we're seeing it. We're literally like it's already bad, but imagine if COVID had like a 70% mortality rate, right?
Yeah.
Like, I easily see how we get to a reality where there's like military checkpoints and it's like The Last of Us and like people are out there still protesting, like, I don't gotta wear a mask, and people are getting gunned yeah. down in the street, right? like I just kind of hate everyone.
100%.
And so if one motherfucker got bitten by a zombie, like not bitten, yeah. if they became a zombie, I see how in a week's time, I'm also scavenging for beans, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I think everyone is fearful of Captain Trips, but thankfully COVID is just like private stumbles.
Captain Trips?
Yeah, I knew Missy wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Captain Trips is what the name of the super flu in The Stand, like what leads to The Stand, Stephen King's one of his seminal
okay.
books.
Right. Okay.
It's the slang for it. Although, I don't know if they ever explain why it's called that. I mean,
I don't think they do. Which yeah. I kind of like, where it's just like, Captain Trips ravaged the world. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, Stephen King just did, like, the world's longest line of coke, and he was like, first thing that comes to mind, Captain Trips. There we go. Done.
He doesn't need to explain himself to us.
He doesn't. He wrote one of the best novels ever written.
Yeah.
Which one is the best novel ever written?
It.
That's the one you're both talking about?
No.
Well, I was talking, well, I was talking about The Stand.
Okay.
But then, like, I thought about the end, like the ending aside, it is one of the best novels ever written in
Absolutely.
Any genre. It's
very, very good.
Yeah. But to answer your other question about Train to Busan, I like the energy it has. The things I don't like in zombie movies are the quiet things. You know, like, I'm not a fan of those scenes where people are like, you know, they barricade themselves in a room and then like for 40 minutes, they talk about their hopes and dreams. Like, I just want to see running from zombies and being eaten by zombies. And Train to Busan is a non-stop fucking, like, it's like Speed, right? It just goes. Like, there's like, what, 10 minutes at the beginning of setup, and then there's a zombie outbreak on a train, and the movie is unrelenting. And I like unrelenting movies.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting, I recently rewatched it, and there are a number of long, drawn-out melodramatic scenes.
You probably are right. I haven't seen it in years. Probably yeah. 2016 when it came out.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that I really dug it, and I'm going to rewatch it soon. In preparation
it
for
fucking holds
that's a good
up.
Idea to watch it before
it fucking stuff. Holds up. It's
I've watched
so
it a few times and like I've been brought to tears each time I've watched it.
Missy, it was on your top 10 of the decade, right?
It was on Chris's.
Oh, was it? Okay. I knew one of you had
I really like it.
And like looking back, it probably should have been on mine. Train to Busan, like if you're listening and you haven't seen Train to Busan.
It could have, yeah, I probably should have been on mine too.
I don't know what to tell you. Like Train to Busan is one of the best horror movies of the last 20 years, probably.
I have met people that don't like it, but
yeah.
that's their problem.
Yeah, but then you know to cut those people out of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
What
yeah. mm-hmm.
2020, no more fixed friends. All right, so Soul Station, it takes place the night preceding the events of Train to Busan.
Right, in Seoul.
In Seoul. It follows, basically, three characters. A young woman, what is her name? Hyesun?
Hyesun, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah, I don't know how...
Yeah.
I'm so terrified of saying it wrong.
Is it Hyesun?
Hyesun. Hyesun?
Let's just go with one pronunciation. And if we're wrong, I apologize. But
sure. I'm going to call her the girl because she's the only girl in the movie.
Okay. Yeah. There's the girl, her boyfriend, and then her dad.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the boyfriend has been trying to pimp out his girlfriend because they're poor.
Shit.
And basically they get separated after it goes bad. Zombie outbreak happens. Dad tries to find his daughter, teams up with boyfriend to find daughter. Zombies. That's the movie.
That's the movie.
Yep.
Yep. I will say one thing that occurred to me while I was watching this is that there is really, really, really no animated horror movies. Like, there's this one. And then I was thinking about this really low budget one that I think I've mentioned before called Where the Dead Go to Die. But other than that, like there's a lot of like anime that is, and again, I mentioned this last episode. I'm going to say anime, but anime does technically refer to Japanese animation. But this is from South Korea. I don't know what the term is.
It's the same look.
It looks the same as what you would think of as anime.
Where the Dead Go to Die, I think that's the thing I hated. Pretty sure I hated that.
No, you hated the film, the guy who made Where the Dead Go to Die, the movie he made after that is called like Where Blackbirds Fly.
I hated that.
Yeah, you really did hate that. but I guess my point is that like, there's a lot of anime that are like action horror, like Vampire Hunter D or Blood the Last Vampire, a lot of shit with like witches and wizards, right? But like, there's very little horror in the animated realm. Am I wrong?
No, Perfect Blue is the only other thing I'm thinking of, but it's not quite so straight up horror as this.
Yeah,
if you loop in hentai, there's some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't feel. Like
so very I'm starting my hentai review podcast.
I don't actually feel knowledgeable to talk about.
I kind of want to do that. We could do a side one.
It's called Glob Forsaken.
You can do that while I'm on vacation if you want.
What, Missy?
You can do that while I'm on vacation if you want.
Oh, Missy's going away for a couple weeks. Whether that will affect our recording schedule or not, I don't know. But we'll talk about it later. But I'm down. I mean, they're all the same plot, right? It's like a group of girls fight an alien tentacle monster that like rapes them. That's the plot of every hentai. Japan loves that plot. They're just like, you just
can't
keep
get enough. Yeah, you put the slop in the trough. I'm going back there to eat.
Yep. Wow. Okay. So, but my point is that like, it's not like this, it's like Soul Station is a horror movie. This is not, this is straight up zombies killing people. And I thought I'll tell you what I liked. I thought the zombies were really well done. I thought the movie was really violent. It felt very real. And the characters felt very real. Like I thought the dialogue was good. They had character arcs. There was even like a surprise toward the end that I won't ruin right now. Some of the actual like action sequences with the zombies were very tense. Like I was really on the edge of my seat. We can talk about the actual sequences in a bit, but like there's the part where they all lock themselves in the jail cell.
Yeah, that was very tense.
Yeah, I like that. I just feel like this might just be because I've seen that so many times. It's from things that are after that. I just feel like I've seen that a number of times in Kingdom, in the other Korean like period zombie horror we watched.
Oh, that movie Rampant?
Yes. I feel like we've seen that a number of times now that it doesn't feel new anymore. Yeah.
Chris and I did an episode. Chris and I did two movies before you joined, Missy, that the audio quality was so bad that we couldn't release them.
No, we never did Rampant?
We never released Rampant. And we never released I Think I Might Be the Killer or You Might Be the Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you ever want to do them again, we could.
I mean, it's been long enough that I obviously forgot the name of the other one. So
I don't even remember the movie.
But it's also like Kingdom is good and Rampant is so bad.
Yeah, Rampant was not just, I'll just spoil, I'll save you all an hour and a half. You don't have to watch Rampant.
Thank you.
But I remember they had basically a very similar scene.
If you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you'll probably like You Might Be the Killer.
Oh, really?
That one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like an Italian title.
It feels like we're venturing into
a place where
You
Might Be a Killer? That sounds
Chris
super
and I
Italian.
Start reviewing a movie for you, Missy. Listen, why do you guys not like Soul Station as much as I do? That's what I want to know. How did you watch this movie and not go, that was fucking cool?
I thought the characters were super boring.
Agreed. Like, I didn't feel for anyone.
No, like, I mean, I like the scene you're talking about. And I liked when, some interesting plot stuff was happening at the end. It just felt like I'm watching a few random people run away from zombies, but, like, I don't actually know the characters
at
all. Yeah,
like, I wasn't invested in anyone. And honestly, like, the boyfriend who's pimping his girlfriend out, like, something about his body posture and language was, like, he looked like a male mantis that's waiting to be eaten by the female.
He deserves that. I hate him. I hated him so much. Like,
the way he was animated, his like elbows were tucked in at the side and his arms were always up and he had like this overbite where he's like, goo, goo.
Uh-oh.
That feels really offensive.
I don't mean that in a racial way. I just mean it in like a dopey nerd way of like, oh, what are we doing over here? Oh, I'm completely incompetent, but I'm good at abusing my girlfriend. It's like, fuck you. You're the worst archetype.
Okay, I think let's explain some things for listeners, right? So
I already said he's pimping his girlfriend out.
So that's look. I'm not saying I like him. Like,
you think that he was the hero?
I think this is
You think he was the hero of the movie?
No, for me, the hero was the dad, right? Like, right. I understand it's hard to talk about that for the reason it is. But let's talk about it. What I'm talking about in the order of the movie, right? For most of the movie, I was like, I want this dad to find his daughter. But here's the basic plot. The basic plot is you're following the homeless people that live at Soul Station. Like, they sleep in the train tunnels, but like the pedestrian walkways at night. When it's clear that like the police are sort of like, yo, you can sleep here, but like,
don't make a ruckus.
Right. And so one of them is this old man whose neck has been bitten and he's pouring blood. And because you know what movie you're at, you're like, that guy is going to turn into a zombie, right? Yeah. It is completely unclear who bit him. Like, we don't know who the first zombie is. And I don't remember if that's covered in Train to Busan.
I don't think so.
It's not. They just say at one point that the company that his company invested in, because he's like a fund manager, was responsible for it.
Got it. So you basically follow... There is this other homeless guy who, if he has a name, I don't feel like it's ever said.
I don't think it's ever said.
He just calls him brother.
Yes. Well, yeah. So basically...
Dog the Bounty Hunter way. He's like, brother.
He says bro. But yeah, he's like a fellow... He's a friend. These are two homeless guys, and the one guy's been bit. And so part of the movie is his friend trying to get help for his bitten friend, right? But he doesn't know he's been bitten. He just thinks he's been injured. And there's this whole story about how like homeless people are sort of unseen and no one cares about them. And I got to tell you, I was really moved by it, right? Because like this guy really cares about his friend and he's just trying to get someone to believe him that his friend is like
injured. I felt really
bad
for him, but he was acting so dumb. He was like, oh, let me get a few like Tylenol. Like, that's not going to help him. Stop the bleeding. You need to stop the bleeding.
I will say,
it's not hard. Stop the bleeding with anything.
I thought it was weird that, yes, he's like, he goes to like the train station security and he's like, my friend is bleeding. And the guy's like, get out of here, asshole. Like I'll throw you out. And then, he goes to the drugstore and he's like, I need some Tylenol. And I'm like, how about you take him to the hospital, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know why that wasn't the first stop.
Like, I don't know why he doesn't say, look, I know you don't believe me, but please just call whatever, like call the equivalent of 911, whatever it is. Like, please have someone come. My friend, his neck is gushing blood, right?
But he goes and gets that energy drink. Like, is that like supposed to be like alcohol or something?
I didn't understand
that's just
that.
Like a Gatorade thing.
Oh, he was like really salivating over it.
Yeah, it really felt like he only had a couple coins and it felt like he was like, I know I'm supposed to buy medicine, but I'd also like that drink. And it just felt, it had the vibe of like, it's a drug or it's alcohol or something.
Yeah.
But I guess he just really wanted a fucking strawberry fizzy soda, right?
Maybe it is alcohol. I don't know.
It's clearly like a Korean product. But so that's one story that's happening. Meanwhile, you're following the main girl and her boyfriend, right? And basically...
Who's a real cool dude, as I covered.
Look, I'm going to say he is literally one of the worst people I've ever seen in a movie.
He's like the physical embodiment of small dick energy.
Yeah, totally. That's a good call.
He basically like took a picture of his girlfriend
sleeping
and sleeping
while she's sleeping,
and he And it becomes clear that they are like behind on the rent because the landlord is like, says to the girl, like, if you don't fucking, if you're, you or your boyfriend don't pay me tonight, I'm kicking you out. So she goes to find him at like
it's called internet cafe.
Yeah. It's called a PC bong. That's what it's called in Korea. I know that. I don't know if it's, I think it's bong or bang. I'm not, but B-A-N-G, I think. I feel like all of my Korean friends are listening, being like, Rodney, you're embarrassing yourself. But so yeah, like they go to the internet cafe, and that's where she sees he's posting a photo of her on some kind of internet forum. But the movie, strangely, doesn't have any of the text subtitled.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like. Everyone's dialogue is subtitled, but like you see him typing something in Korean, and I'm like, I wish I knew what that said, right? But I get the vibe that it says, how would you like to fuck my girlfriend for money, right?
Correct.
Because she gets very upset and says, like, why are you pimping me out? And he basically is like, look, you don't have to, like, you don't have to sleep with anyone. Just, like, go to their place and while they're showering, steal the money out of their wallet and get out of there and we'll pay the rent with it. And I'm like, that is an odd plan for your girlfriend, right? And then he reveals that basically she used to be a prostitute and he, like, saved her from that lifestyle. And now he is pimping her out, right? And I'm like, man, you are really are like the worst person I could ever imagine. I hate you, right? And I totally get, so from that point forward, I was on her side. I felt for her. Like she comes from a hard background and she obviously is like, she has no money. She's terrified of, you know, like, you know, the world in general, as I imagine you would be. And the only person she has is her boyfriend who's treating her like a piece of shit. So that made me care for her.
I did care for her and I fell for her. But right, what we just said, that's the entire character and it never develops any further. Like, she doesn't do anything.
She survives poorly and gets a bunch of people killed along the way.
Once you hit like the 15 or 20 minute mark, the plot of the film is run from zombies. Like,
yeah, and it, every scene is just the same of her like screaming and being like paralyzed and not doing anything and letting like other people around her act out and try to protect her, and they get killed, and then she's just running to the next scene. It's all that happens with her. So
yeah, that's mostly true. And so a little bit more intro, we meet the dad, and the dad is at home and he gets a phone call from someone who's like, yo, saw this posting on the internet. Is this your daughter? And he's like, oh my God, like that's her. Cause clearly he hasn't seen her in a while. And so he calls the boyfriend and he like basically arranges to, like he's posing as someone who, you know, as a, what's the term? A client. Yeah. And so when he meets the boyfriend, he grabs him. He's like, where the fuck is my daughter, man? Right. So you're following three storylines. You're following the homeless dude looking for help, the girl, like just sort of out in the city, and the dad teaming up with the boyfriend to find the daughter. And somewhere around 15 to 20 minutes in, zombie shit starts going down. And once, like, it does not take long to ramp up. This movie goes into like hyperdrive very quickly. And very quickly, the girl meets up with that homeless dude and they find themselves, they go to the police station, and this is where zombies attack and they lock themselves in a jail cell. And they're trapped in there with like 20 zombies, like just trying to get in. And I was like, that is the worst fate I could ever imagine.
I think she's with a different homeless guy.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's a different one.
I don't think so.
That we meet in the jail cell.
Yeah, the first dude?
Yeah.
The first dude is trying to help his bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He gets eaten. Right. Bro gets eaten. You're totally right.
Okay.
Which is, so, I found that strange because it's like we spend a ton of time with this guy just for him to die and not do anything.
You're correct. Right. In fact, like he feels so important that in my mind, I made him into the other character. You're right. Yeah. That dude.
That would make more sense.
He goes to give his friend the Tylenol and his friend has died. And then he goes to get the cops and they come back and now there's just a pool of blood. And they're like, yo, dude, why are you wasting our time? And he goes around the corner and that's where he sees bro like eating someone in an alley. And like, this is one of those moments that I always think, what would I do in real life? Right. Cause like, in real life, I've seen zombie films. And if I saw Chris like hunched over a body, like tearing at the neck, and Chris stood up and had blood all over his face and his eyes were wide and he was like, I would run. I would just fucking run.
You'd be like,
right?
Chris, what's wrong?
Yeah. But I do appreciate zombie movies where I don't need a zombie movie to be aware and be like, zombies do this. But just like, be aware that zombies exist now, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of just need you to, that's the one thing. I no longer want to watch characters who are like, what's going on, right? But even if not, like, wouldn't your first thought be like, my friend is literally like looks, he looks bad and I just saw him eating a dead body. Something's wrong, right? But I also get that, like, you just don't think that the last thing your mind is going to think is that that person is a living corpse that eats flesh, right? Like, you just, it's so ridiculous. I get, and you don't really have enough time to think because, like in the rules of Train to Busan, the zombies in this run. They run fucking fast.
I like running zombies. I think that's cool.
I think it's fucking terrifying.
And it is. Yeah, it's way scarier.
That dude gets iced. You're right. Then the girl goes to the police station. She gets locked in the jail cell.
With a very nice homeless man.
Yes. And he becomes one of the more long-lasting characters.
He's the nicest character in the movie. Probably the best character.
Yeah. So from that point forward, I mean, there's not like we could talk about all the plot points, but there's not a lot. It's basically, you're right. They go from place to place, and everywhere they go, guess what? They encounter zombies and people die.
I did like the sequence after she and the other homeless guy got out of the jail cell, and then they basically run outside, and there's this relief because they're able to get out because the cops show up, and they run outside out of back alley, and they're like, all right, well, we're going to take you to the hospital. You're going to be safe now. And they're like, oh, what's going on? They're like, well, there's a lot of people there, a lot of bite wounds. It's weird. And the homeless guy like makes them crash the ambulance rather than go there.
I did like that scene. That was cool.
Yeah, I did think, like, again, I don't know what would actually happen, because the dude is like, stop the ambulance. And the driver's like, I'm not stopping the ambulance. And then he like jumps into the front and grabs the wheel, and like, they're wrestling over the wheel and the ambulance is like swerving through the streets. And I'm like, maybe you should just hit the brake at this point. Like, just let the crazy homeless guy get off the fucking ambulance, right?
Right.
But instead, the ambulance crashes and now they are fucked.
Right.
There's also there's a couple times throughout the movie where you're like, yo, dude, why are you talking? Just get in the car and drive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, you're taking a little too long to do whatever. But I just thought, like, each individual escape from zombies sequence was very different than all the others. You know, there's like the trapped in the small bathroom and have to climb up the building sequence. There's the jail cell sequence, the hospital sequence. Strangely, you don't see much of it, but that was cool. I loved the part where the girl has to like go across like the high, like the metal beams, and all the zombies are like falling.
That was cool. That was probably my favorite escape.
I mentioned this last time, but I was expecting more zombie physics. Which,
what do you mean?
Well, like in Train to Busan, there's like one point where all the zombies are running after the train at the end, and they all like collide and become this like tidal wave of zombies. I feel like that didn't really happen in this.
I was waiting for that too, because I feel like it would be so easy to do with animation.
Right. And I found that strange.
The physics of the zombies were much more like you would think real humans to be acting. Like, as like props. Like, they could have done more, like, epic things, I feel like.
Yeah.
With groups.
I guess, like, I just remember in Train to Busan, there's the sequence, like, somewhere halfway through, they stop at another station, and they get off the train, and then all the zombies come, like, pouring onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the part you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about at the very end, when they're on the single engine trying to get away, and the zombies are running at them, and they end up, like, bumping into each other and tripping, so then more zombies jump over them. They end up grabbing onto the train and then becoming like almost like an army ant line that's dragging behind them, and then other zombies start jumping up on top of them and climbing over them. And it's like, that's shit I've never seen in a zombie movie. So when you're saying you're doing an animated thing by the same director, I was kind of expecting a lot of that stuff, and they never did. It was like Missy said, it was a lot of generic zombie action.
Let me ask you this. What'd you like better, this or Blood Quantum?
Blood Quantum.
I think I like this better.
I thought this was more polished, but I thought Blood Quantum was doing, like, trying to do something more interesting, whereas this felt a little safe.
Fair. I like this better. Again, Blood Quantum was very good, though. Blood Quantum has better, well, I wouldn't say better characters, but that's not really true. It has, like, the chief of police. He's a good character. I can't say I loved the characters in Blood Quantum.
Yeah. That was my biggest problem with Blood Quantum.
Yeah. I liked two characters in Blood Quantum, whereas in this, I liked one and a half.
I guess it's just like, I don't know, what's a zombie movie that like has all this, like I guess Train to Busan
has everything.
Yeah
and I like, you're right, if it's the same writer and director, you kind of expect it to be the same, and yet I'm just not bumping on it the same way you guys are. I can't argue the fact that Train to Busan has more characters and they are better and more varied, and this movie, it's like everyone is either an asshole or they don't really have a character or character arc. Like, Scared Woman is not really a character, you know?
Exactly.
And like, you could argue whether or not she has an actual arc, you know, like whether she finds her courage or whatever. I would say she doesn't really, you know?
I would say she doesn't as well.
And so it doesn't feel like in Train to Busan, it's sort of like the story of the dad, what, like growing closer with his daughter, like becoming a better dad.
Yes.
Like protecting her, having to protect her and stand up. And,
yeah, he literally goes from a place of being so work-minded and completely obsessed with trying to, like, that's what the brilliance of it is. It's not just that he's like, you know, like a 90s kids movie where it's like, oh, I wish my dad were around, but he works too much. It's it's not just that. Like, that's where it kind of starts. But then, like, halfway through the other future dad character he meets, because his wife is pregnant, that dude's like, oh, yeah, you know, your daughter probably resents you, but you and I both know that you're doing that to provide her a better life in her future. And maybe one day she'll appreciate that. Like, so there's like this, these shades of gray that the movie recognizes and plays with, because like it also, like, the villain in Train to Busan, the main villain, aside from the zombies, is essentially the main dad character's future self, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, if he were a complete shitbag and just doubled down on who he was, this is who he would become. And you see that character exists to basically play with the idea of like, no, you didn't become that person. You fought against that and you saved your daughter.
Yeah.
And like, that's part of what really elevates it. Not that every movie needs that, but like, when you're saying that this is directed by the same guy, this movie doesn't have any of that. And in fact, I think with the reveal at the end, it undermines all of it. And I really feel disappointed by this movie.
Oh, I like the reveal at the end.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Before we do, I do have a question that I'm unclear on. How is this the prequel to Train to Busan?
Because they leave from Seoul Station.
Yeah, but okay, don't be condescending. What I'm saying is this happens at night, right?
Yes.
And by the end of this movie, Seoul is a fucking nightmare zombie land, right? So how does anyone
well,
get on the train?
I don't know if it is all of Seoul. I think it's just the one area.
But it's definitely Seoul Station. Like, if there's one place I wouldn't want to be, it's at Seoul Station, because that's where the train leaves from in Train to Busan. So how does
But has Seoul Station fallen? Or it just started at Seoul Station and it's kind of spread out from there?
I don't know. If a zombie outbreak happened at Penn
Either
Station...
Either way, the next morning isn't going to be calm enough to just get on the train normally.
Yeah.
Like 12 hours after the outbreak at Penn Station of zombies, would you want to go to Penn Station? Do you think that area wouldn't you notice something's
right,
wrong?
Right.
People in the train to Busan don't know there's anything going on. They find out during the movie.
So, yeah, I agree. There does seem to be a scale problem where it seems like way too much has spread.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but maybe like train to, but this is the prequel. That's what doesn't
make sense.
That's
what they're calling it, but it seems more concurrent.
Right. It seems like Train to Busan, like the dad and his daughter get on the train the morning of Seoul Station movie, right?
Right.
They get on the train, and like that morning, a couple homeless people have been attacked. One of them gets on the train to Busan, and the train leaves, right?
Yeah.
And that evening, as shit is happening on the train, that is the night that this movie takes place on.
I think it's more the exact same time.
Yeah, I think these are happening at the same time, but calling it the prequel implies this is happening before Train to Busan.
I feel like they're trying to get you to watch it.
Yeah.
It's easier to say prequel than concurrent timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess
there's not a lot of those. A conquel.
I wish there was some kind of like connective tissue. You know what I mean? Like,
I expected that. Yeah.
Like a character that overlaps, or like I almost kind
right
of just
like
wanted
you to... you expect it to end with seeing the zombie bite the girl who got onto the train.
Exactly.
Something. Exactly. That wouldn't have been hard to do.
I just feel like if you're gonna make a prequel, I do want that little bit of a like, oh, that's where the two movies touch. You know,
yeah,
like the end of Rogue One and the beginning of Star Wars 4. You know. Spoilers if you haven't seen. I didn't even spoil it, but they touch. So, but like, again, I'm like, I get it. The fucking zombie outbreak. I just kind of like, I don't know. Like in my zombie movies, I really just want to watch zombies chase people, right? And like I remember seeing, what's the one that everyone loves? 28 Days Later, you know? And like, that's cool. It just sort of like forgets it's a zombie movie for a while. And I was like, no. I want the zombies. I don't want angry dudes with guns, right? And so I think this movie continually ramps up. I'm mixed on the ending because we're going to have to talk about that. But why don't we just move into spoilers?
I think we're just about there. Yeah.
Let's just do the do you recommend it part.
If you like zombie movies, I think it's worth checking out. If like you really like zombie movies, if you're just like a horror fan, I think it's a little boring, but it has good parts and it's polished. And I think that animated horror is a cool genre because like with animated stuff, you're so used to seeing it be happy and light that it can be really, really creepy to see animated stuff be scary. So I did like that part of it.
I agree. I mean, I think if you like zombie stuff, don't go in expecting Train to Busan. Just expect cool visuals, but don't expect a big good story.
Yeah. Like, even though it is the prequel to Train to Busan, this could easily just be called Korean zombie movie, right? Like, it has really nothing to do with Train to Busan, other than it's obviously happening in Seoul at the same time. But you could watch these movies in either order, and I don't think it really matters.
Definitely not.
I highly recommend this movie, but like it does come down to, do you like zombies and are you okay with animation, right? Because I know people who just like, as Americans, we are very used to animation being a kid oriented medium, you know? And a lot of people just have this disconnect when it comes to watching adult content in an animated form. And so like, you know, you kind of have to know if you like that. I think you could watch the trailer for this. Again, there's nothing really to give away. And the trailer doesn't give anything away. But like at the end of the day, if you're listening to this show and you like violent horror movies, you're probably going to like this. This is, again, I really fucking dug it. I like that it took itself seriously. I like that it was unrelentingly grim. That's a Rodney thing, you know? Like, this movie is not here to, quote unquote, be a good time or be fun. Like, fuck you. This is what zombies attacking a town would be like, right? Like, every person that you even care about for a moment has their fucking body ripped apart by zombies, right? Like, the ending of this movie is so fucking grim. I can't even talk about it right now. But like, when it ended, I applauded. And my wife watched it with me. She also was like, she was baking. And she was like, what are you watching? I'm like, Seoul Station. She loves Train to Busan. She's like, all right, I'll watch a couple minutes. She couldn't leave. She watched the whole fucking thing. And when it ended, she literally started applauding.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And like, I'm like, we're in my living room, just the two of us, right? And so I started applauding. And I was like, yeah, I'm not alone here, right? This was fucking cool. And she's like, Rodney, that was fucking cool. And I was like, yeah, okay. All right, I'm not crazy. And then I come on here and you people are like, nah, you know, it's okay. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, again, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you probably like one of us more than the others.
Wow.
I don't mean everyone likes me. I'm saying that you tend to either like Missy's movies or Chris's movies or my movies. And if you like the Rodney shit, you probably are going to like this movie.
Yep, fair enough.
So, Chris, you disagree?
Let's move into spoilers. No,
yeah,
I am psyched. I did find a place to watch Peninsula.
Where?
I'll send you a link.
Okay, cool.
What's Peninsula?
The sequel.
I'm just joking. I'm relaxed. Calm down.
I don't know anymore.
Wait, is it the sequel to Seoul Station?
Sequel to Seoul Station.
Okay.
Oh, it picks up right where it left off. No. Oh.
Like, this is one of the things. I really think when I see Peninsula, I think I'm going to love it because it's going to just deliver more awesome zombie action. And I think most people are going to complain that it's not as good as Train to Busan, to which I'm going to say, of course it can't be. Like, it can't be, right? So I just anticipate hearing everyone bitch about it, and I'm going to walk out of Peninsula with a big smile on my face.
That's possible.
It might be terrible. I don't know. But based on the two movies I've seen by this man, it's going to be fucking great.
I will watch it either way.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try to watch it right after this.
Spoilers. Yeah, 3, 2, 1. We're into spoilers.
He's not the dad.
He's not the dad.
That was a good reveal.
That was fucking awesome.
When they finally meet each other. Like,
but I don't buy it.
I do.
Why would he be obsessively, if it's your daughter, yes, you're going to move hell or high water to find her.
Because he's a loser and he has nothing else going on in his life.
But at a certain point, wouldn't you cut your losses and be like, you know what? This hoe isn't worth it.
What is revealed is eventually he and the boyfriend do find the girl. And he's like, look, I brought your dad. And she looks at him and she's like, that's not my dad. That's my old pimp. Like, that's the dude that I ran away from.
I clapped at that. I thought that was really cool.
I just did not fucking expect that. And I thought that was really good. But then
for
I immediately
a movie that's been super generic and boring, like they did something super unexpected.
What do you mean? You're super. Look at your wording. Super generic and super boring. We just talked about like literally like 100,000 people die in this movie.
So.
So you don't recommend it.
100,000 people die in 2012. It's not a good movie.
It's valid. You didn't like the part where the dude's like climbing on the telephone pole.
I said that was my favorite. That was my favorite scene.
That's not. No, you said your favorite part was where she's walking on the metal girders.
No, I thought you meant where they're climbing on the ropes, where she's like climbing herself all on the rope.
No, I'm specifically. All right, there was a part where there was like two buildings.
You mean that her walking on the metal? No, I don't know. I didn't. Yeah, the zombies were jumping after her and they couldn't, like, it was like the size of a balance beam. So they couldn't get on. I was like, just stay like there the rest of the night. Like, just stay there. They can't get you right there.
Well, that's the thing though. It's like in a real zombie apocalypse. Yeah. Like, I think the right thing to do is probably just like find a safe space and stay. But like, the longer you wait, the more zombies that are crowding the world. And like the reality of you just starving to death on a metal beam increases, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, I'd rather starve to death than be torn apart by flesh-eating zombies, but neither sounds appealing, you know? But there's another scene later where, like, the, I guess the Korean army, or are they the police? I think it's the police, right?
It's the army.
Well, it's the police, and then the army takes over.
Right.
So the police basically, I'm not sure I understand this, but, like, they block off this alley with a big police bus, and all these normal people who have not been infected are trying to like climb over the bus, and the police are using like water hoses to knock people back. And they're like, you can't come this way. And I had two thoughts. And one was like, man, like I get where the police are coming from and that it's like, I don't know who's infected. We just have to like, you know, stop everything. But I also was like, what are you guarding? Like it was unclear what's on the other side of the bus that they're so trying to defend. Right. But also just sort of like in that moment, I felt the, I had this moment where I was like, I guess all countries are just full of disgusting like politicians and evil policemen, because like that felt very American to me, right?
Yeah.
Like these poor people are just trying to like save themselves. And here's this like line of masked policemen using force to like it's very appropriate for now, but this movie was made 4 years ago. I guess people, this was still a problem. It's only now that people protest about it, you know? That's not true. People in protest. I'm in a hole. Oh my God. I feel my hole getting deeper. All I'm saying is
talk about your hole getting deeper for the other hentai review podcast.
All I'm saying is I really felt for those people. I know those are unnamed characters that are fictional in an animated movie, right? But I'm also like, these poor people just want to like get to safety and the police are fucking holding them back. And I was like, that's exactly what would happen in real life. You know what I mean? If there really were a zombie outbreak, the police would show up and they would put everyone behind a barricade until the zombies killed everyone. And then the army shows up and they fucking start murdering people with machine guns, right?
Yeah.
And that was grim as fuck.
That was grim.
But during that sequence, there is this one dude who like doesn't have a name, but he's clearly sort of like, we'll call him the protagonist of this sequence, right? And he's just this badass with like a pipe and he's just killing zombies. And like, he's like, there's a power line stretched across this alley. And he's like, if I can climb hand over hand on the power line, I can get to the safety spot up on this building. And so he does it. And our main girl like follows him, except she's like losing her grip. And he's like, you can make it. You can make it. And she's clearly slipping. And this is when he does the dumbest thing in the world. And he's like, I will climb back out and try to help you. And I was like, look, I get that you're maybe the nicest person in the world, but like when there's a zombie outbreak, you can cheer people on, but you can't go climbing back out onto the overhand beam, you know? But he does, and you know what happens to him.
His foot gets grabbed right on second one of doing that.
I wonder if right as he's being torn apart, does he think like, fucking bitch?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so there's a brief moment where you see a zombie reach up and like scratch her leg. And so she makes it to safety, but now she's got scratches on her ankle. And, you know, I was like, do scratches count? Like, probably.
Yeah,
right?
It hasn't been established in the movie if that's going to turn her or not. But according to other zombie movies, probably.
So then she finally goes and finds her dad and boyfriend. And that's when the reveal is that, like, her dad is actually her pimp.
Yeah, and he's not happy to see her. He is
cussing at her. He's not her dad.
Yeah, sorry. It's definitely 100% not her dad. It is her pimp. But I'm with you, Chris, in that my immediate thought was, like, he's like, basically, you owe me money, bitch, and I'm going to keep pimping you out until I get the money. And I was like,
you saw the world. To who?
Yeah, I don't know why you care so much about that. Like, the world is filled with flesh-eating zombies, right? And I understand, like, earlier in the movie, when he didn't know that, why he's so determined to find this girl and get the money that is owed to him. But once he sees the zombie outbreak, why is this his own, like, his only purpose in life is to find his old prostitute and, like, use her again? Like, wouldn't you just be trying to get the fuck out of the city? Like, that totally didn't make sense, dude.
I think that he, like, feels some kind of, like, weird ownership over her. And he's clearly just so pathetic and doesn't have anything else going on. And this is, yeah, he's pathetic. But
this is
what he's chosen to fixate on. Maybe he's in love with her? Like, I don't know.
I felt like the movie misses a little beat where it implies that he is, like, somehow, like, he's in love with her, but he's also pimping her out. Like he just keeps calling her, like a fucking bitch, right? I almost feel this movie does need a little trigger warning. Like, it is really...
It's quite rough. Yeah.
It is rough. Like, I think he straight up calls her the C word, right?
Probably.
Like, he's, like, throwing her around. Like, this whole... Like the only woman in this movie is, like, a two-time prostitute, right? Who gets, like, beat up and chased by zombies.
Just trying to get out of that world.
And, like, yeah, it is unpleasant. And then the last scene with the three of them is really a rough watch. I was just like, this is really unpleasant because what happens?
Well, the boyfriend's trying to protect her. And I mean, he's a piece of shit, but he is trying to protect her from the pimp trying to attack her. And the pimp slits the boyfriend's throat.
Yeah, he fucking just
and
kills him.
He drops dead on the floor there. And now it's just her and him.
So graphic. I was just like, this movie has so many balls.
Yeah, so she's like running around the model house that they're in and hides in a chest of cabinets. And so he's like running around after her and sees her footprints and figures out where she is and opens the cabinet. She's not there. She's right behind. She tries to hit him over the head. You're like, oh, great. Maybe she's going to get him. No, he just turns around and starts strangling her and throws her onto the bed. And right when he's about to assault her a different way, he realizes that she's dead.
But he's about to rape her.
I said he's going to assault her a different
way. Yeah, I don't know why you...
I don't want to say the word. I don't know.
Okay, fine.
It's triggering.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I was saying, it's a triggering movie. You should know.
Yeah.
He straight up he still has his underpants on. There's no animated penis in this movie, which was disappointing.
That's my big note.
Yeah. We're going to go all the way. Let's see an animated dick.
I want to see. That's what Blood Quantum had, is some dick noblin.
But yeah, like I don't know how to say this politely, but like, you don't know how much money she took from him. So I don't know how much he should care. Right. Like, like, did she only take like $100?
He's implying that he could like live in a fancy house if he had back the money.
Yeah, it's really unclear how much money she stole from him, but she has no money now because she's literally can't pay the rent.
I think that he's in love with her, but obviously he's a piece of shit.
I think you're right. I think it's like a control. Like, he does say the boyfriend's like, you're not her daddy. And he's like, she can call me daddy. Like, all the girls call me daddy. Right.
He thinks of her as his property.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he goes to rape her, except she's dead. She has died on the bed. And he's like, oh, no, like, now I don't want to have sex with a dead body.
Yeah.
And I guess he just wasn't paying attention for the previous couple hours of his life, because she then sits up and she's clearly a zombie.
Yeah. They pan down to her foot and it's spread.
Right. And instead of him immediately like leaping off the bed and trying to run, he just sits there and he goes like, oh, shit. And then she jumps on him and kills him.
So it's fun.
Yeah, except you don't get to see it. Like, for such a graphic movie,
yeah.
The last image is like the two of them, like they roll off the bed and you see them wrestling and you see the shadows like projected on the wall. And I kept waiting for like a spout of blood to
Fair
like go
enough.
Up on the wall.
You're totally right.
And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you're not going to show, like, how come the evil pimp doesn't get a brutal on-screen death?
You're when so everyone right, else actually. Did? I didn't think about that at the time, but you're right.
I really wanted him to die terribly. And like, he does. It's just off screen. And then the camera like pans out and you see like the sunrise and like all of Seoul is like on fire and like there's sirens and like the movie ends.
And then they push in and you see a dad driving his daughter and it's like, we're going to ride a train today.
We're going on the train ride. Daddy, what's with all the police? Don't worry about it. We're going to Seoul Station. Which did not happen. But that I really felt like the movie was supposed to end with the dad and the daughter driving to Seoul Station, but whatever. So, I mean, that's the movie. And again, does it need to be the prequel to Seoul Station? No. Or, I'm sorry, the prequel to Train to Busan, but it is. And for what it is, it's awesome. And I want more animated horror. That's what I want.
I want more animated horror. I really liked that. I think that's what it offered that was super unique. I think it was like kind of a standard story, but what it offered was this like cool take on it by being animated. And I think it was a cool twist that I didn't see coming. I liked the twist.
Yeah.
That like, he's not the dad.
I thought that was really cool. I just kind of, I don't know. I do feel like the better ending is like she actually does defeat him and like run off into the night, you know? Like I'd rather an ending where she survives and we don't know what her fate will be, as opposed to the story of like a girl who was like forced into prostitution, escaped, met a boyfriend, forced into prostitution again, escapes, is tracked down by the original rapist pimp who then proceeds to choke her and almost rape her. And the only reason she gets to not have that happen is because she succumbs to a zombie bite and turns into a flesh-eating monster for the rest of her life.
I'm with you, Rodney, there, for sure.
That is some grim fucking
shit. Why couldn't we just watch her stab him to death, like over and over?
Yeah, I would have even accepted a slightly different ending where she stabs him to death or beats him to death and she gets a revenge and she stumbles out into the night and like looks down the street and realizes she has a scratch on her leg.
That would have been fine. Yeah.
Right? It's just sort of like, it's, I mean, again, it's a zombie end of the world movie where, but it's like Train to Busan doesn't have that. The Train to Busan has like a hopeful kind of ending, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas this is just like a go fuck yourself, life is terrible ending.
Yep. Yeah.
But again, I sort of liked that, you know?
I didn't mind it at all.
You keep going back and forth. You're like, I didn't mind it, but you previously called it
boring. I didn't mind the ending. I think a lot of the movie was really generic and boring.
What about the part where like the crazy fat woman is like chasing them in the train station?
Funny. That was pretty funny.
That's so like, strange.
It was weird. It's like about halfway through, the girl and her homeless friend are like in Seoul Station. And there's like one of those metal gates that have come down and they're trying to lift it up just far enough to like slide under. And while they're doing that, the guy, his stomach is caught and he's having a hard time getting underneath. And this chubby woman comes around the corner and she's just
breathing
staring.
Heavily.
And she's like, ah, ah. And then she just starts screaming and running toward them. And you're like, she's a zombie. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And then right when she gets to them, she stops and she's like, what are you people doing? Why are you like messing with the gate? You people shouldn't be in the sewer or in the subway at night, you know? Yeah. And I was like, oh, she's just a crazy
woman. That was like the moment of comedy. attempt at comedy.
That is the only funny moment in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then I immediately realized that she's actually just like a mentally unstable woman who roams the Seoul Station. And then I felt bad again.
Oh, I guess you're right. I was just thinking her was just like cranky.
No, she's mentally ill. She's literally talking about like she's looking for her mother, but she's clearly like just like what's she doing at 2 a.m. in the train station.
Okay, well, now
know?
I feel bad too. Yeah.
Like I feel like I've met that woman many times. Like the mentally ill woman who just yells at phantoms, you know? And and I was like, wow, she I guess you're just making a joke at sick people.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. It's not funny. I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right. Well, look, that's Seoul Station, everyone. Like,
yeah, I'm glad we watched it.
I'm so glad we watched this. This has been on my list for, I don't know, several years now. I don't know. I really dug it. I think everyone should watch this. Like, I do. But you're right. I mean, it doesn't offer anything unique other than just a lot of sequences of zombies killing people. But like those sequences are dope.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wavering back and forth so much because I like literally like liked 50% of it and didn't like 50% of it.
Really,
I think
50%.
There's a lot. There. Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing. And Chris, is your main issue just that?
I felt like I was expecting it to go somewhere, right?
Ah, that makes total sense. Yeah.
And it just was like, it's a runaway from zombies movie. Oh, and here's a twist that's kind of tired.
Yeah, it really is. It's sort of like just watching a person run until they vomit and fall over, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's no story there. It's just like, how long will that person run, right? And so you're just watching this girl run until you're like, sooner or later she'll die. And when she dies, the movie ends.
Yeah. I feel like I would have liked it a lot more if they were like, dope ass animated zombie movie. And I'd be like, oh, that was crazy. But when you say Train to Busan prequel, I'm looking for how it ties into Train to Busan. I'm expecting a father-daughter storyline, right? Because that's what you've given me. And so then when it's like, nope, I was just the pimp the whole time.
But don't you think that's sort of like a joke or a joke on the audience? Because it's like Train to Busan is about a father-daughter.
Yeah, so but most like, of us don't engage with art because we want to be humiliated, Rodney.
Wait, what?
We don't engage with art because we want to be humiliated. That it's like, I played a joke on you.
Did you feel humiliated?
the movie humiliated you?
Are you so embarrassed? Are you just...
Yeah, I was saying the safe word. The movie was like, no, I'm not going to honor that.
I think the safe word for movies is pause.
I was expecting a father-daughter storyline, and then in the end, maybe I'm prime because of did you guys ever watch the Dave Chappelle talking about his experience with Comedy Central and why he left Chappelle's Show?
No.
Okay, so in that, he legally can't talk about it, but he equates it to this 70s book written by an actual pimp called Iceberg Slim, and it talks about how, as a pimp, how he related to women. And so maybe because I was like primed with that knowledge that I'm like, this isn't a relationship a pimp has to his woman.
Okay.
Like they're commodified. So the whole idea of him being like for him, a pimp tends to be a like very sociopathic relationship where it's like, you're good for being fucked and getting me money. And then once that's over, goodbye. So like seeing this pimp that's like claims it's his daughter and he's like maybe in love with her, but also not. I don't know. It just didn't feel authentic to me. Just felt like a cheap way to be like, gotcha.
Okay. That's totally fair.
Well, now you've all heard everyone's opinions here. Seems like it's a divisive movie, but I'm glad we watched it.
I am too. Yes. And we should watch Peninsula.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we definitely should. Again, I feel like Train to Busan is so famous now that like, who's the horror fan that hasn't seen that movie, right?
Yeah.
I do think most people have not seen Seoul Station.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Peninsula, Peninsula is apparently getting like an IMAX release, right? Like people are aware now, so I don't know if we need to tell people about Peninsula, but I'm down to do it. Like if there's a way for us to watch it, is it being released digitally or do I have to wait until theaters reopen?
I think it's going to be released digitally next year.
Cool.
Next year? No.
Okay, Missy.
They're going to say like next month.
But you can see it in theaters if you want to get COVID.
Missy, why are you getting so worked up? You're not going to like it. I already told you. You're going to be upset.
I don't know. I need something to look forward to. What
the
else?
The Wretched. You get to watch The Wretched. It's witches.
Okay.
We're
going to
watch
fine.
A witch movie, Missy.
Okay, that's good too. That's good. That's nice. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening as always. We hope you're doing well. You know, we really appreciate you being fans of the show. Check out The Wretched trailer or watch the movie. Come back next week and that's what we're going to talk about. All right?
Sounds great.
Cool.
All right, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the episode. If you could like, subscribe, and share this episode, that'd be great. If you want to share your feedback with us, we can be reached at podforsakenpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.